that, God, I am here. Consecrate me now to your service, Lord, to the cross where thou hast died, by the power of your grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will and my life be lost in you. I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to you. I want my life, my breath, my being to live you out, to reflect you, to be transparent. Let there be no hidden area. The way I am in dark is the way I am in the open. The way I am in the closet is the way I am in the public place. Lord, let my life reflect your nature. I will my life your dwelling place. Your place in our lives. Spirit of God, make us in the nature of God. May every part, may every member, may every life be the same currency before you. The same lifestyle, the same nature, the same power, the same beauty, the same glory, the same manifestation. Lord, do it. Circumcise our hearts. Speak to our lives. Walk your utmost and produce your image. In Jesus' name we pray. And let the church say amen. Please be seated. I want to thank God for another opportunity to listen to His Word. We are continuing on the theme for this year, Holiness unto the Lord. The Lord is asking us to just lay the foundation, because in the foundation will the structure of our life, will the manifestation, the beauty, the glory, the strength of the building stand. Holiness is indispensable as far as God is concerned. If there is any other thing that is indispensable to make heaven apart from salvation, it is holiness. If there is any other thing that is inevitable, that cannot be done without after being born again, it is holiness. You cannot wish it away. You cannot consign it to a denominational topic. No, it's not even universal. It is heavenly. It is God's standard for those who must see Him and who will live in the world and reflect His glory. And no wonder it is a command. God gave it as a command. And when God gives a command, He expects an obedience. It means that any life lived outside God's command is a life of disobedience. And any life lived in disobedience is a life that is already attracting a curse. At the end of that life, at the end of that venture, is something that will not last for good. And so in Leviticus 19 verse 1, God made an absolute command to the children of Israel, who, if you remember, He said He took them out in Exodus 19, that when He wanted to make a masterpiece of who a people who will be like their God are, God took them out. He appointed them, and He desired to make them a holy nation, a peculiar people, a generation that is set apart, that would be a standard bearer to all us. That when people cannot see God with their physical eyes, if they behold the people from this nation, they can at least say, this is who God looks like in character and in nature. And so in Exodus 19, He reiterated and spoke to Moses saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. Look at that word. It's a command. You shall be holy. And sometimes shall is stronger than must. Shall composes not just that it's an obligation. Shall means that I am expecting you. So not only that you're obliged to do it, I am expecting nothing else except you do it. You shall be holy. Why? My nature is holiness. That's the old. When He came to the new again, He said there are certain things that have been done away by the law, by the appearing of Jesus Christ. There are certain things that in the Old Testament were a shadow, a symbol, just like where we read in our lesson, a symbol of what your life can be like. And when you look at the regalia of the priest from head to toe, you can see a picture of my glory and my beauty. And all of it is supposed to be a holy garment. And even in that holy garment, he specified which one. He said, look, this one, if it's not there, then there is no doing. There's no going. Wasted effort. Every day that you live under the shadow without it is a day that is not reckoned with in me or by me. And so he came to the New Testament again. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, the command re-echoed. He said, with all you are doing, with all you are getting, with everything that you should fasten your heart upon and anchor your life on, go back to that command I gave. I have not changed it. I have not embellished it. I have not by any means diminished it. I reiterate it and I give you the reason. 1 Peter 1, verse 14. He gave us the background. He said, as obedient children. He had already said, sharp. I am expecting obedience. As obedient children, no longer live your lives. No longer fashion your lives. The reason, according to your former way of living in ignorance, when you did not hand over your life consciously to me. That's what that verse is saying. The moment you agreed in a covenant to ask me, Jesus, to come into your life and be your Lord and your Savior, you entered an agreement and you say that for as long as I live, I will no longer live unto myself. I will live unto him who died and gave himself for me. My ambitions, my practices, my associations, the things I aspire to are subsumed in what you desire of me. So who I am, how I appear, the way I speak, my very nature itself is no longer according to what it used to be the moment I drew the line and crossed over and you accepted me. Because that's the problem many of us have with holiness. We think, look, we've been so used to this practice. We've been so used to this type of telling lies, black and white. We've been so used to this hanky-panky business. You will never tell everybody the transparent truth. You've been so lived to a dirty life in the cupboard and a public life. Two kinds of lies. You've been so used to people never really placing you anywhere. That's what you wear. That's how you used to get on before you came into Jesus. And for many, that mindset hasn't gone. Christ has not yet fully been formed. They think, look, they can do a bargaining. Jesus, today I live for you, tomorrow leave it for me. Jesus, when it comes to this matter, I am the expert. I will handle it myself. When it comes to other more spiritual matters, I'm praying and petitioning, I will bring you on stage. No. You say, the moment you drew on and handed over your life to him, you made a commitment for a change, and you asked him, sign the check. Run my life. Let me reflect your glory. So he says, if you have come into that relationship, as obedient children, no longer be bound to the way you were living before. But now, verse 15, as he who has called you is holy, so be ye holy in every manner of living. Every, no exception, not in business, not in contract bidding, not in dealing with life partner, not in trying to hide some things and bringing others aboard, not in looking at the society and say that's what is raining now, that is on the internet, that is the one that the TV preachers preach, that is the acceptable social norm. No, he said you drew a line. The moment Jesus came into your life and you answered the call, as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all, friend, all. Spirit of God is saying all, no exception. What you drink, what you eat, what you think in your heart, your motive, your appearance should be the same. One complete whole. Reflecting he who called you in all, get that point clear, church? Or, if there's any area of your life that has not come under the scrutiny of God's eyes, then it's not on. Then you are missing it. Then you will not get all of God's credence. Such now. In all manner of lifestyle, be ye holy. And he gave us the caveat in verse 16, because it's written, be ye holy, because I am holy. If you choose to follow me, and those who say they abide in me, they have got their birth in me, and want to walk with me, they have no other lifestyle to live. There's no second or third or fourth option. Since I am holy, be ye holy. If you can be holy, it's enough. It's sufficient. That's the life I want you to live. So holiness is a command. Is it dispensable in our life? It's a nature. It's a nature. It's a nature. It's not a garment you decide to put on today and take off tomorrow. In church, I'll be holy. In school, I'll show my true color. For retreat, I will be holy. I put on the garment called holiness. When I'm in my marketplaces, I'm in my element. It's a nature. It's a lifestyle. It's an invitation to God's nature. So be ye holy because I am holy. There's no other place we have that command in the scripture. Near to it is God is love. But here is a command. So be ye. You shall. You have no alternative. If we begin to get that clear, then God has begun to do the job. You don't have a choice, my dear. You don't have an argument with anyone. I stepped into a life. I stepped into a school. This school has a code. This school has a rule. This school has regulations. This school says if you step out of line, here is punishment. This school says for you to be a diligent student, this is the line of action. That's the school of heaven. That's the school of life. Those who are living on their own and haven't come under Jesus' jurisdiction, they can live anyhow. They can call the shots. But the moment you step in and say, God, come into my life, Jesus, wash away my sins, and your spirit bears witness with the spirit of God that you are changed, then there's a code. There's a lifestyle. It's an invitation to live new again. To rework yourself. And it's not you who does it. All you simply need to do is to realize this is what I must do. And the knowledge of that. And the revelation that it's not you, it is God who says, just pattern after me. That's my nature. And I have no choice. So instead of looking to the left, or looking to the right, or looking down, or looking up, you just focus on him. What is the nature of God? And you simply imbibe it. And you don't even need to look far, because Romans has told us that this world, once Jesus comes into your heart, it's not in heaven to say, let God come down. We see him in his holiness. I can no longer sin once I see him. Let somebody rise from the dead, a very holy man, then I would really know a miracle has happened. You say, no. Once he has entered your heart, the nature of holiness is born. Praise the Lord. The seed that gave birth to us is holiness. He walked through this earth and was subject to every manner of temptation and vicissitudes, yet without sin. And in whomsoever the seed of Christ is, he does not make a practice of what? Sin. He doesn't. An orange does not give birth to a pawpaw. No matter how much it desires, it will give birth to an orange fruit. A mango, by all means, no matter its wishes, can never give rise to a pineapple. It will give birth to a mango. If Jesus is inside of you, he who never sinned, he has the potential to produce in your life from morning till night a holy nature. Simple. That's the picture. He just germinates. You allow him growth. You allow him expression that those who live no longer live unto themselves. That's where the conflict is. Jesus is in, but you are telling him, no, I haven't fully allowed your lordship. So stay in a corner. Let me run the other side. That's where you live unholy lives.
Then allow him room and say, whatever is your nature, whatever you dictate, whatever the Spirit is telling me, and he can tell you every day as you open up. I will go by it. I will drop my experience. I will drop what I am coming with. I will drop what those in my social status have been used to. Yours is the one I'll go with. Then as he expresses himself, you will live that way. The seed will germinate, will bear fruit. And it cannot be a holy seed. So it's a nature. It's an invitation to a lifestyle that has already been implanted into your life. Can I tell you something? If you find it difficult to live a consistently holy life, two things. One is the one that you have not yet known, that the seed of Jesus implanted in you is a holy seed that cannot look into evil, that is of purer eyes than to behold what? Iniquity. And so you run the light, you quench him. You're a Christian, but you're carnal. You live in the world. You reason like the world. There's no mindset that tells anybody this one has been touched and made different. And you live at that level. And you can't swear. The second reason is that you have not been born again in the first instance. You've been playing church. You've been just going with others. You've learned the language. You've learned the songs. You've learned the mannerisms. You've learned the cliches. You've learned to use many of the things that Christians say. Hey, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How are you? Is the Lord doing? But inside, no touch. No encounter. That's why it's impossible to live that life. But if Jesus is there, you will have the nudging. You have the margin. Even some of the times you misbehave, you go wrong, you sin, you know within. You just tell yourself, no, that's what everybody's doing. Oh, I can't help it. But the seed will let you know. But when you do it again and again, he will go quiet. He will go quiet. But if you have none of that at all, then you're not born again. And there's no pretense about it. And God said, without it, you can't see me. You can be in church. You can be the first to arrive. You can hold the titles. It can be a zinne, it can be a zinna, it can be golden, diamond, it can be every copper, it can be opals. They can even invent one for you, but that's only for here. It doesn't meet heaven's approval. So God says, it's my nature. I invite you. I am of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. Habakkuk 1:13. My nature, my eyes are such that wherever iniquity is found, I'm not there. No matter how much you box me into that place, I'm not there. Box me into that life, I'm not there. You're running the show. That's the nature he's inviting us to. And no wonder God makes an expectation. We read there yesterday. We'll repeat it. Zechariah 14. He said, the nation of Israel, you have sinned. You went your way. I appointed you a holy nation, a peculiar people. Exodus 19 from verse 6. He said, I wanted to use you as a showpiece and tell others what it is like living in this world and living God's own kind of life. But you derail. But towards the end of the age, I will make all things new again. I will gather my people. And around that time that I gather my people, I will establish a standard again. And the people who will come into my heritage are the people who have this mark. Verse 20 of Zechariah chapter 14. In that day, there shall be upon the bells of the houses holiness to the Lord. The pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. The dustbins at the front. The menial elements shall be as holy as the vessels that are used specially to honor God. Yea, every pot. Every person, friend, it includes you today. That potential to return to base is possible in the name of Jesus. It's possible. When God makes that allowance, then the allowance is made. Every part, you are included. There is nothing that has had a hand on you that cannot be released. In any case, the only thing that can still hold you away from God's lifestyle is sin if you are not born again. And church, I speak to you again. Father, mother, if you have been playing church and you feel too ashamed to commit your life to Christ, you can play with God this year. You can't run it for too long. If you don't have a witness inside of your heart that you are a child of God, you are not born again. If you haven't had a testimony that once I was blind, once I was indulging in these practices, once I was running with this lifestyle, but a change came. If you can't situate it to any point, then you are not born again. That's scripture. And the things that are truth are the things we must say. And why are we saying it? Because those are the two indispensable factors for making heaven. One, except a man is born again, he cannot do what? See. Except a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. The gate is closed. Church is open. Everyone invited. But the ultimate is closed. Again, the same language. Without holiness, no man shall see. Both of them are indispensable. And until we get it, then we cease to play hook and crook and we come straight. So if you're not born again this morning, that is the starting point. Don't look right or look left. When it is judgment time, nobody will stand by you. I remember my experience. 1977, January, Federal Government College, Enugu. As young as I was then, the altar call came. Do you know what was happening in my mind? As young as I was sitting by the next person ahead of me, who I had desired to live like, because I learned he was the best student in year one. So I said I was going to be like him. And this young man had already been born again. But right there as the altar call came, do you know my problem? What will Raymond say? What will Raymond say if I stand up now to go and give my life? Can you imagine that type of thing? That was the battle I sit down. And that day the altar call wasn't made closing eyes. The preacher finished. I happened to see him a couple of times. Some time ago at Enugu, I said, you were the one who preached when I gave my life to Christ. And of course, he couldn't remember. But he was grateful to God to be an instrument. At a point in time, I just made up my mind and said, this is Raymond. Raymond has given his life to Christ. And I want to give my life. And shame is keeping me here. That's what is keeping many. What will my friends say? What will those who need me say? What will my classmates say? And like that, it will shut you out from heaven. You play church, you play self, you play everything, and where it matters, maybe. And that's the way the game of life goes. Just at the 11th hour, that your friend will shunt in. He will meet the criterion. The thief at the 11th hour entered paradise. Because all he had done, dawned on him. He didn't need any more preaching. His heart convicted him because he had made the Savior. One of those who were with him in escapades, many of them would have perished. And he who was the ogre eventually entered heaven. So friend, let no shame, let nothing that is earthly keep you away from that urge. And as I'm speaking now, the Spirit of God is saying, give me your heart. Give me your life. Surrender to me. That's the best decision you will make. That's the only time heaven tells us that the angels of heaven stand in celebration. Every other activity taking place in life is better decoration. They watch. They don't even applaud. It's only when you return to base that they say, one of us is come home again. He's redeemed. He's ransomed. Jesus, the price you paid, is born another fruit. And they rejoice. May that happen on your head this morning in the name of Jesus. But the moment you've taken that decision, friend, you have no other life to live. You have no life of your own. You just key in. And if you understand the principle, you don't need to learn any other. The reason why you may have been with some is because you came with another lifestyle until you gave your life to Christ. The moment you do, you allow yourself open to Him. And He says, my nature is holiness. I am of purer eyes than to behold iniquity in any form. And I want every pot, every person, every worshipper, everyone that names the name of the Lord to depart from iniquity. Because the foundation of God's house stands sure, having a seal. The Lord knows those who are actually His own. Not those who say, I am. No. There are many I am. I am prophet. I am evangelist. I am pastor. I am founder. I am born again. It may not be by your claim. If we go by many claims today, then the whole world would have been born again. But that's not true. Heaven knows. Does heaven know you? Is there a record in heaven about you? Is there a witness? And if there does, have you departed from iniquity? Every port in Jerusalem and in Judah. So no exception. Every port where my name is mentioned, every worshiper, every individual shall be holiness to the Lord of hosts. They all that sacrifice, can man come and take any of them? I can use any of them. I don't need to go to the altar alone. I can use the one that is out there. I can use the person who stays at the last seat. I can use the person who thinks I just came into the church yesterday. I can use the person who says I'm just in primary school. Once they come into my lordship, every part, friend, you, God is expecting a holy life. And there will be no more Canaanites. No more Canaanites. No more business dealing. No more somebody who wears a face, but the life is not saying the same thing. No more somebody who is only there for his own interest alone. That's what Canaanites did. Anywhere the people of God were around, the Canaanites wanted to counterfeit their faith. You see, he doesn't want any more counter. And friend, God is calling us to the original lifestyle. And if you have been in that, he's asking you to renew base in the name of Jesus Christ. We say it is imperative. Matthew 24 verse 12, it says, in the last days iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. So the tendency to puncture your level of holy work and reflecting God in these days is higher. True or false? I say it's higher. The average young person now knows more about sex, knows more about how to break a bank, knows more about how to just cost somebody, knows more about the expletives you can use to abuse somebody and reduce him to nothing. Why? He has more access to television, more access to internet, more access to all the satellite views. They know more about it. Sometimes ask the children, because by constant looking and by constant association, some words enter them. Talk less of the average person. So the days are more evil. Iniquity is abounding. People are baptizing things that used to be bad with names. If you do abortion now, do you know what the people who don't want to hurt their conscience will tell you? They say it is menstrual regulation. If you do abortion. Abortion is going to remove a child that is in the womb forcefully and snuff out the life. But instead of saying you did abortion, or the older, milder world of DNC, they will call it what? You're only regulating your menses so that it won't hurt your conscience. If you embezzle money now, what would they call it? They will say it's bribery and corruption. What will you read in the newspaper? Misapplication of funds. He just took it there and applied it there. To reduce the pain. So it doesn't matter what the societal norm is, it's getting worse and worse. Yesterday I was at the back. There were one or two young men who came in. They came to serve God. But I was watching. I was watching because I was at the back. The trouser was at the... Which one is higher, the hip or the waist? Pardon me, I'm a doctor, but sometimes we get confused with these things. Because when they get too common... The trouser was pulled down. You were just seeing white. They said that he was wearing a blazer on top, as it were. So society does it, and it becomes now. I told us on this pulpit, you can access it, that the fashion designers, those who are responsible for seeing how you look in the worldly sense, have said there's no more design to be made anymore. We have designed everything. We have made all kinds of design. All of them by their names, the big names, Italian giants. They say the only thing now remaining in fashion is to lay it bare. So the more that design shows the inward part, the better fashion it is. Isn't that what we are seeing now? Iniquity shall abound. The love of many will wax old. The things that can make you deviate will be more and more. And that's the reason. That's why it's imperative. The last days require much more of our grace. And that's why the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, seeing these things, that we are in the last days, and iniquity is abounding, and that heaven has a standard, and that these things which men go after will eventually perish. all of them will go away. What manner of men and women ought we to be? In all holiness and godliness. Verse 11. Verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. Make effort. Be careful. Put in every amount of effort required. That's diligence. Be on your watch. Be on your guard. Don't assume Jesus has come into your life, but to make your life pattern after him is your duty. So work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2, 12, 13 is our duty. He will not force you. He's there. As you call him, Lord Jesus, help me. Live this life. He manifests. But as you tell him, well, you are here just for show. Anytime I want to say I'm born again, I speak the language and you hear. And I call upon you and I speak Shabalakanamasanda. And then you go quiet again. So he said, be diligent. Put effort. Be on guard. Don't take anything for granted. Be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. That's holiness. That's for the last days. And 1 John chapter 3 says, if you are born again and you have a hope of heaven, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that God has given us a heritage that even the angels desired to look into. The prophets of old prophesied about it. But they asked God, can we have an experience of this thing? And God said, no, it's not for you. Hallelujah. What is the experience of being a child of God? Being a human being, living in flesh, and yet within you is the Spirit of God that created the universe. The angels prophesied, behold, a virgin shall be a son. You shall call his name Emmanuel. And then they will prophesy again, and the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon him, the Spirit of might and the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of revelation and the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of God. And each of them will say, God, how is it possible that only a human being can be your spirit? God said, no, it's not for you. The angels who brought the message about the birth of Jesus, about the coming Messiah, and the Malachi, he said, he shall arise with healing in his wings. The day star shall arise in your heart and bring dawn again. They said, God, can we for a while experience what it means? He said, no, you are not allowed to. You're only messengers to those who will have this experience. And friends, Jesus came. And you and I, we are privileged to be found of him, bearing his nature. Praise the Lord. It's a great service. And Romans 8 now says, Romans 14. It says, not only are we the sons of God, we are heirs. And not only heirs, but joint heirs. Whatever Jesus has a claim to, you and I have an equal claim to, spiritually and potentially in the natural realm. You are now a member of the household of God. Ephesians 2, 19, 20. You are now a fellow citizen of heaven. Ama abuizu. Ama abuizu. Ni ife basalon degen. Ni ife basale bine. Praise the Lord. Ata abuizu. Ipi goru dike. Makani welugon degenye fone. Jesus. You have been brought into the inner caucus of heavenly discussion. Hallelujah. The angel said we can't experience this. He said you will never. But unto us has that promise been made. And having come into that heritage, he said, look, make effort. Now we know we are sons of God. We don't yet know what we will be. But we know that when Jesus appears, we will be like him. Transformed in his nature. But while we are still here on earth, we shall also be with him in his character. And so it ends with saying, everyone that has this hope of being with Jesus should do what? Purify himself. Effort. You put effort. Look in and see if there is any area that is still off and on. Make it clean. Bring it to the nature and the standard. And of course, we have heard that without holiness, no man, no pastor, no church warden, no member of Chapel of His Resurrection shall see the Lord. Without it, wear any other badge? None. And that's why God gave us that picture where we read in the lesson. He said, let Aaron have all the regalia. From the mitre, the big one that will touch the ceiling, to the cope, to the one that will make him appear as if he's a big masquerade that can never die. Put all of them on him. Put the embroidery. Put the bell. Let them make noise. But any time that Aaron must appear before me, for any sacrifice, for any service that I can record in heaven and give an approval, Aaron must put on holiness unto the Lord. If I look and I don't see that nature, everything is waste. Every life that day is waste. Every embankment that day is a waste. Every transaction that day can only work among the realm of men. It will not have my stamp. It won't last. Aaron must wear it always. Always. That's the picture. Wear the engraving, holiness unto the Lord. It doesn't depend on Aaron to say, look, today I don't feel like. This mitre, you know what is mitre? The ones on the top of bishops. Have you seen that type of thing? It's not easy to put it on. Some of the times you look at the head and you look at the mitre and you wonder which one is where. So after all that, he said, you must always, you have no choice in this matter. If you must appear before me and get an approval and have your service and have your worship acceptable, not only for you, but on the behalf of the Israelites who worship. Always, always, no exception, morning, night, that you may be acceptable. No other condition had that. Every other one can go by. But for you to be acceptable, for your life to be approved, put it on always. It was a garment that was worn outwardly. But this time, praise God for Jesus. Is a garment that you now put in inwardly, and it will reflect outwardly. Praise the Lord. So any day, any time, we are in the garment of holiness. Stepping out, holy. Speaking, holy. Touching anyone, holy. Motives, holy. The one men don't see, holy as well. So there's no hiding place. And once that becomes a lifestyle, then it's easy to live. And God told us, I'm coming quickly. My reward is with me. Revelation 22, verses 11 and 12. And if as I speak, anyone who chooses to remain filthy, let him remain filthy. Anyone who chooses to remain holy, let him embark on that life of holiness and never leave. My reward is with me. I pray that his reward will come in accordance with our holiness in the name of Jesus Christ. And friends, I have learned that for impactful usefulness in this life, that's the relevance. We're not just talking about heaven. For being impactful wherever you are, coming to the office, speaking in a meeting, going for lectures, sitting in exam hall, living in a hostel, having a shop in a marketplace, bidding for a new contract, selling pepper in the market, standing by the roadside, for your life, whether you speak or not, to make impact, holiness is at the bottom of it. Are there no times you have entered a room, and because you suddenly see somebody there, and the person hasn't said a word, all of a sudden, automatically, the whole of yourself will tell you, be careful how you behave here. Have you got that impression before? The person won't have said a word. He won't have said anything. But already there's an atmosphere that tells you you can't just behave anyhow here. That's what God is expecting. For usefulness that makes impact. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, just like what he said in Zechariah, he said, look, in God's house there are many vessels. There are many people, there are many worshippers, there are vessels of gold that are used for noble purposes. There are also vessels of wood and vessels of what? Clay. What do you do with wood? What do you do with wood? It's a friend to dust. Any dust fills at home with wood. What do you do to clay? Do you bother to wonder whether clay, not even the pot, Nkaiji Agwancha, you, Not even the type, this one that you muzzle and make it shine. The ordinary clay. Will it be able to tell you there is dust in me or not? It can't. Its nature is not able to tell you that. You can't demarcate between what has defiled it and its nature. They're almost the same. You see, there are people who have chosen at that level by their lifestyle, even though I'm in them. Yes, Cana. And yet, in that same house, there are vessels of honor. You saw the other one, God calls them vessels for ignoble use, unfruitful. Look again. Why is it difficult for me to win souls? Holiness or absence of it may be at the bottom. Because if your life is already reflecting Jesus, you don't need to speak much. Once you speak to that person, even your boss, there's a way your life will command a blinding difference around. And every word of yours, people will listen. Because that life has been formed in Jesus. So he says, if any man, again, a blank check. Zechariah 14:21 says, every pot. Here in 2 Timothy 2:21, if any man, if any woman will be diligent to purge themselves of all iniquity, then you will rise to be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set apart, prepared for every good use, ready for the Master of Heaven to manifest you. Isn't that the best thing one can live? Why will you live at the bottom of the ladder when there is a higher to go? Why will men be matching you? Why will sin be ridding you? Why will the world be making a jest of you? Why will your life make no difference from the next person around? Why are you living in the first instance? Why are you born again? If you can't reflect where you are coming from, that's a frustrated life. That's a life that many people look at and say, if Christianity is like yours, I would better remain the way I am. If you've heard that statement, check it again. There's no way holiness can be in that life and it does not shine, it does not reflect anywhere you are. Many of the times you are hidden. But a golden fish has no hiding place. Talk more of a holy life. God will bring you out and use you again and again. Even against your will. People may not know where you are coming from the moment you are there. They just give it a little time. And God will say, no, I have my nature here. I have my nature here. A man whose life is after my heart. And before you know it, he brings you out to the stage. And it doesn't just happen in the spiritual. It is the same in the physical, in your workplace. If you doubt it, try it and see in the name of Jesus. So the key to advancement, even in the world that is perverse and crooked, in God's hand, if you go with God's standard, is holiness. Is holiness. You don't need to pray for 1 year, or fast for 6 months, or do night vigil for 2 weeks. You just live a holy life. And at any moment, you are ready for God's use and manifestation. Nothing is missing in your hand. Is that not the reason why Daniel served 4 prime ministers without lobbying, without belonging to a political party? Nothing was found in him. Faithful. No error. Daniel chapter 6 verses 2 and 3. That life just showed up. Anyone who came on board will look for him. Even when they didn't know him, somebody will say, there's a man in this your kingdom. A man in whom the spirit of the Most High God dwells in. A man who has distinguished himself. And before too long, words will reach out. Send for that man. The king wouldn't know the name of the man. But by the time the man manifests, everybody knows somebody different has come. That's your life. That's who God will want to make you this year in the name of Jesus. Not a mediocre. Not a mediocre. Many of us are anonymous where we are. Determined to say, God, I want to make the difference. I am diligent. I will purge myself of everything that makes me look like the other people in their lying, in their lifestyle, in their secret lives, in their immorality. God, I make up my mind to cooperate with you. Leave the rest for God. I can say it again. Leave the rest for God. I may not have seen much, but I have seen that it works. And he can walk with you this year in the name of Jesus. Let God announce you again and again. And what God does, he takes you beyond your seniors. Takes you beyond your mates. Even if people want to get you down, they can't, because he who placed you cannot be brought down. Hallelujah. But you have a price. That's the diligence. That's the impactful use. If any man, open check again, will purge themselves from all impurity, from everything that defiles, then you automatically, God has a quick admission system to the life of holiness. Automatically, you don't fill a form, you don't bang on a door. Just remove that standard of lifestyle that has made God's picture in your life dim. And be diligent to be found of him in holiness. Then you have already qualified. Anytime, any day, he can knock on the door of your life and he can tell you, I know your nature. And that's holiness. The measure of the nature of God when he sees you. And somebody can say, okay, when God will see me at 12 midday, he will see something good. But God has no restriction with time. When is God seeing you and I, brethren? When is he seeing us? Some people have this comfort. They say, God is very big. The world is so large. The population now is about 7 billion. China alone has about 1.2 billion. India is reaching 700 to 900 million. When will God have time to see everybody? So I can hide. I can do a small thing. I can do this one there and then clean my mouth and then come out again and appear in the open. No, sir. That is a mystery about him with whom we have to do. He said, I'm an all-seeing eye. Everything in the dark and in the open is open to him with whom we have to do. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14. Everything. So God is seeing 24 hours, 60 seconds, 60 minutes. So there's no time you and I are outside in such light. Friend, if we understand that, that's how to be diligent to be found on him. You don't need any teaching about where. You don't need any teaching about how you appear. You don't need any teaching about what you will say. You simply know that the eyes of God are on you all the time. Always. Again, Aaron must put on holiness always. Again, so this time, God's eyes are on me always. Anything I will not want God's eyes not to see, then I don't do. Anything I will not want God's eyes not to see, then I don't say. Anything I will not want God's eyes not to record, then I don't think. That's perpetual holiness. So you can see it's possible. It's easy. You don't need a pastor. You don't need regulation. You don't need a code. You don't need that's how our church does it. That's universal. Once the seed of Jesus inside of you that is a seed of holiness is there, the potential to live that way every day of your life is already there. Praise the Lord. And all you need to do is to help you be diligent. Help you purge away. And so that simple exercise every time. God is seeing me now the way I want to react to this provocation. God is seeing me now, and this statement I want to make to boost my ego, to defend myself, to give them a piece of my mind. God is seeing me now as I'm trying to do koni-koni and say I'm just doing fondling, I'm just doing a little beating, I'm just doing a little kissing. It is not deep kissing. You know the medium and the lighter one. God is seeing me now. So the moment that consciousness is there, it becomes a lifestyle. It becomes consistent. Whether you are in town or in the village, it doesn't matter. The same person. The same person. God's eyes are on me. That's holiness. Who are you when God's eyes are on you? What is the nature of him that he sees in you? Can you now understand why in Matthew 7:21, he says, many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, we gave our lives to you. We prophesied in your name. We served in that activity group. We did many wonderful works in your name. People knew us as the leader of this or that. He didn't doubt it. He didn't make any argument. And when he finished, he just had a simple answer. Depart from me, all you workers of what? Iniquity. Why? They did the works. They were right. But when he saw, the works were done in a nature that was not his own. The works we are done with a defiled lifestyle, with an impure motive. King Amaziah did what was right, not only in the sight of men, but in the sight of who? God. 2 Chronicles 25, verse 1. Right action, failed by men. Work done, correct. But look at the but there. But not with a perfect heart. So the result of work done, zero. Not done in the nature of God. So simple, brethren. Christ is in me, and the moment is in me, his eyes are on me, whether awake or asleep, whether accompanied or alone, whether at work or in worship. What does he see? So if there's anything he does not need to see, can I give you an exercise? If God were to just show 5 minutes of any 5 minutes of your life in the last 1 week, is there anyone you would tell him, God, blot it out? Any 5 minutes of your life, not the whole 24 hours. He just chooses any 5 minutes of his choice in the last 1 week. And say, I will show it to them. You tell them you are this. I will show them this one. Is there anyone you have to say, God, please blot it out? God, edit it. Edit it. Edit it out. You know how to edit. God, use, what do you use to clean things? What do you call the name? Pipette? Huh? Pipette it. God, pipette this one. Cut the tape. Cut the tape. Is there any? That's what God is saying. That any part of your life and any time I'm seeing my nature. And it's the measure of the nature of God in our life that is our holiness quotient. That's the simple truth. So if we live with that lifestyle, always, not by choice, not in occasion, let that be there always. Live like that always. It becomes a lifestyle. It just becomes you. You no longer need to do anything that you cannot defend. That life becomes the same. May that be what God will work in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. And if God succeeds in doing that, friends, we've already known that the seed of Christ, 1 John chapter 3 verse 8, that dwells in us, is a holy seed. And whoever that seed dwells in does not make a practice of sin. I can tell you that in your weakness, you can just say a lie to defend yourself. But when you do that, the Holy Spirit will warn you. He will simply provoke you. If you are walking already in a holy life and making diligence, you will quickly bow down there. Even there in the midst of all the people, and they think you suddenly have gone down. And you just say, God, forgive me. Pressure of the moment. But if it becomes a lifestyle, then there's a problem. You know, a pig has a lifestyle with mud. Is that not so? Wash the pig. Dress it. Give it a party and say today is celebration. All it's sniffing is where it's mud. It will go back there. But when a sheep falls into the mud, once in a while, that sheep watches for some hours. Any tree back, any month, any wall it sees. What will you see the sheep doing? Scratching to remove this mud that came there. I'm uncomfortable with it. It irritates me. It has lowered my acceptability before God. It has decreased me. It has made me lose my peace. That's what happens when that happens. That's what happens. But you have the potential to live a holy life. God's eyes on me. What is he seeing? Then you're on. And he can see you transparent and recommend you any day, any time. And that's how he sees us and works with us. And Luke 1:74-75 says, he delivered us from the kingdom of darkness unto that of the light, that we might serve him in holiness and righteousness. How many days? All the days in the name of Jesus Christ. Living consciously with God's eyes on us. God's eyes on us. What does he see? Once you answer that question, you can live for him. All the days. All. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Not only on Sundays. On retreat. All the days. It doesn't matter what you have imbibed. It doesn't matter what you have taken on. As we close now, Hebrews 12:1 says, seeing then that we have such a great cloud of witnesses, people who have run this race and have kept the faith and are standing on the platform and are watching, and they have done this race so well, and God cannot lower his standards. He shows no partiality. If he were to see any blemish in you and accept you, when he says without holiness no man shall see the Lord, and he says, look, let this one up, a Moses will rise and say, God, do you remember for just one sin of mine? One sin. Not even an obvious sin. Sin of disobedience. Just one. you disinherited me from the promised land. God, your righteous eyes, you cannot take iniquity. If that sin disqualified me from the promised land, will you allow this? They will rise. Oh, if somebody will say, look, they persecuted me. They didn't want me to get married. They said all sorts of things. The lecturer said, I will not pass until I see him in Hotel ABZ. And then they now just hit my promotion and kept it somewhere. And so unless I bring Gary and Bribe and bring them together, then they will not take me on. Paul will rise and say, Father, the time that I was whipped several times, shipwrecked by false brethren and those outside too, the time I was put in a basket to escape for my life, the time I preached the gospel and the reward was lashes of cane on my back and my hands stuck in feet, is that your standard of righteousness? God will look back. So seeing then that we have such a great cloud of witnesses who have run this race before us and kept the faith, what did he say? Hebrews 12:1, let us lay aside. No price is too much to pay to remain transparent in the eyes of God. When you pay that price, you are getting something better. A lifestyle of communion and God's nature. And God does not forget where he has deposited his gem. He will come again and again for you, a vessel that has purged himself from every impurity, prepared, waiting for the master's use, both in the natural and material things, as God wills. And in the spiritual, in the name of Jesus Christ. So that's God's standard. Lay aside every weight. You know, there are two phrases there. One is every weight that hangs by us. And then the other one is every sin that does what? Easily besets us. I can hear somebody saying that's my besetting sin. You know, I have a short fuse. Anger. Once I'm angry, my tongue can lash anywhere. Then there's something wrong. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things, including the short fuse of anger, pass away. All things become new. If it is still there, then you haven't allowed room for it to be purged. So there are sins and there are ways. For those of us who say, show me where it is written in the Bible. What is a weight? If I'm walking now freely and I'm carrying a weight, will I walk freely? The way to do what? It will retard my progress. So lay aside every weight that on the race to heaven will slow you down. Lay aside every weight that even though it doesn't appear to be outright sin, will detract from God's glory and presence in your life. Lay aside every weight that when you are carrying it will be an obstacle to others. And that's why Paul will end up with, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Not all of them may be fine. But the pure principle is, what does God see when he's looking at you? When he looked last night, when he looked last week, what did he see? Did he see his nature? If not, then let us bow and tremble before him and ask for forgiveness and ask for cleansing. And from now on, what? Lay aside. Lay aside. You have the power to. You have. With Jesus in you, you have not seen that that seed has a potential to germinate holiness. You just lay aside. And not only lay aside, 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, seeing that we have these great and precious promises of entering, of having God use us as holy vessel, of standing before him and praying and receiving blessings and having answers to our prayer. Seeing that the promises are great, let us, again, you, myself, cleanse ourselves, purge ourselves from every filthiness of the flesh and of the Spirit, again, encompassing us. Let us perfect holiness. Let us mature in holiness. Let us completely be holy. Let us perfect holiness and reverence in serving God. Let us pray. You can live a holy life. You can live a holy life. The seed is there. The potential. I've been getting away with many of them before the pastor, before my wife, before my husband, before my parents, before my children. But God's eyes, I can't close them. They are there all seeing. What does he see? What has he been seeing? Who are you before God? That's your level of holiness. That's the level. Were you far more than where you are now? What has God seen in your life in the past how many days? We don't want to reach back to Christmas. What did he see in your motives? What did he see in your thoughts? What did he see in your action? What did he see with the association? What did he see when you were alone? That's holiness. God's eyes on you when no one else is looking, even when they are looking. Who you are before his searchlight, the presence of God in you. Are there things to lay aside? Begin to ask him now. Father, help me. I've identified this nature that has lain with me. I've identified this weight that has been by my side. I've identified this sin that has been besetting me. It so clings easily to me. It always springs up. It has become second nature. But God, I now know I can lay aside. And I know I can live off. And I know I can be diligent. And I know I can purge. And as God gives us time, and I know I can reckon myself as dead to their influence. Father, I lay aside. I cleanse myself of this wilderness. Father, I want to be a pot you can use in your house. Every pot shall be holy unto the Lord. Lord, I want every minute you look, you will see your nature in me. I don't want Adiboroja, I don't want a mix-up. I don't want two types or three types of life or thought or mind. See me as Nathaniel. Transparent. Clean. 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 And as we are making that prayer, decide matters with God. There are areas you have seen. Some of them have been perpetual. Friend, I tell you, that sin 3 years ago, 5 years ago, the one by the Christmas time, all hidden. You've been remorseful, but you've never confessed it before God. You haven't even made yourself plain. You will do two things. You will say, God, I have been keeping it wet under the carpet, but the Spirit reminds me, just like he's doing now, that your eyes have still been seeing them. It has been dogging my step. It has made me not be like you the way I ought to. It has retarded my progress. Secret sin, the hidden there. Tell God, bring it out to the realm of confession. If I confess my sin, I will obtain mercy. But if I conceal it, I will not have mercy. If I confess, God will prosper me. God will cleanse and blot away. The blood of Jesus will avail. Secondly, if that sin is something that somebody else should know, close to you, open up. He will not throw you away. She will not disown you. You will earn more trust. And that way, that barrier will be broken. So as the Holy Spirit is reminding you, tell him, Father, I lay it on the table. I want to walk a walk where you are glorified this year. I want to be always holy, all the days of my life, always in your eyes, always being seen in your nature. It's possible. Your seed is in me. Please confess it. And you are here this morning, and you don't have a witness that you are born again, that Jesus has come into your life. You don't have that peace. You don't have that assurance. If the trumpet were to blow, you are going nowhere. You've been a father for long. But your heart is saying now, as Jesus knows, tell yourself the truth. Come clean. Surrender your life. Woman, the same. Young person, don't assume. Don't presume. That has cost many life and eternity. I don't have peace. I don't have a witness that I am a child of God. This is your opportunity to come and dine with the Lord, to establish a foundation. And so the clarion call is unto you. Is there any this morning who is ready to be on the side of the Lord, to consecrate his life unto God as we sang in that hymn? Jesus, I don't want any more presumption. I want to be sure I'm born again. I want to live up this life of sin that I've been struggling with. I have not been able to overcome. I want to be sure of eternity. If that's you, please raise your hand where you are. You are in the right place. God wants to do a work that will last. No more hiding. No more second guessing. I'm not sure I'm born again. I want to have peace and power to live above sin. Please raise your hand where you are. Praise it very well if you are. We don't want anyone here to be a Canaanite. We want all of him. Please raise it very well. I am not sure I'm born again. Young girl, Jesus is not yet in my life. Young man, I've been playing church, Father. I've been worshiping with others, Mother. But I don't have assurance of salvation. Here is good news. Jesus has to give you life and give you a transparent life. And he says, will you answer? If the answer is yes, just raise your hand where you are. We're not asking you to pray alongside me yet. It's a conscious decision. The day I gave my life to Christ, all eyes were open. We're not asking you to do that. But you're able to read yourself and know whether you are heading to heaven or whether you are still going around on earth. Please raise your hand. We're making that call. And we're taking time to do it. Achoromi werendum nyefe Jesus. Kodurum. Biko onye nwem na onye ndum. Biko weni ake gen. Just raise your hand where you are. Praise God. If you're raising a hand, raise it very well. Because we want to move on to the next form of prayer. I just see a small child there. Thank God. I presume, because I'm not the Holy Spirit now. If I say another word, then it is a caveat. I presume everyone here has made peace with God because he warned us from the beginning of the year. If you will not come under his shelter, you are on your own. You are on your own. That's why God is warning us. If he cannot find you and name you as his own, you are on your own. You may come again and again, but you're on your own. But I plead, knowing the terror of God, that you surrender. Is there any hand up? Please raise it. We are taking deliberate time today because we are not rushing it away. That's the foundation. Praise God. It has none. Friends, what has God been seeing? Buried for 3 years. Buried for 5, buried for 1 week, buried for a month. That was not in his nature. What did he see? That you would tell him, God, blot it out. And you yourself have been blotting it out. Now, bring it open before him so you can be free. So that seed can grow without any hindrance, the seed of holiness. What is it that God has brought to the realm of your reminding now that you thought was all done for? No. It can't be done for when you have not settled account. If there's anything that your spirit is saying, this one is a weight on you. This one, this habit is one that can't take you far. This one is one that is a besetting sin that God saw. No other person has seen. Please, my dear, this is the time to come clean. And I beg of you, just raise your hand where you are. And we take this song. And we take this song. Create in me a new heart, O Lord. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Just raise your hand. God has seen my life. In the past. And there are areas that are not his nature. Sin. Weak. Not with him. You can't run anymore with that. You can't continue with that. He's given an opportunity to be cleansed, to purify, to purge away. Please raise your hand where you are. If you are raising your hand, please stand where you are. Thank God for you. I'm quiet because I have done my job. It is for you to respond to the Holy Spirit. There be no more clay pot in the house. No more pot for ignoble use. No more life where sin can thrive. No more vessel where impurity can find a field in. Please stand. And some of our brethren are standing. Whatever the searchlight of God saw, that no other person has seen, and it has become a weight in your life. If the certain sin, please stand. have an opportunity now. You may ask me, what does it matter whether I stand or not? It is a simple instruction. It already shows the readiness of your heart to let go or to remain. It identifies you as a part of our corporate prayer. Opportunity is still beckoning for those of us who are still in the point of decision. Beloved, as you stand, the Lord is of a loving kindness, abundant in mercy, and not readily angered, even though we have sinned against Him. This is the opportunity to say, Lord, I come clean. I cleanse myself from all filthiness of flesh and of the spirit. I purge my life of that weight that has been going with me. I purge my life of that sin that shall no more have dominion over me. I surrender to you. I surrender to you. Lord, as I confess, I'm ready to come clean. Take me on. Forgive me. Renew a right spirit within me. Take not away your salvation from me. Restore to me the joy of salvation. Psalm 51 from verse 10 downwards. 11, 17. That's the prayer we are making now. Is there anyone who by chance is still sitting down and your heart has not set you free? 1 John 3:14-15 says, if our heart condemns us, God, who knows and sees all things, is greater than our heart. But if our heart does not condemn us, then we have great boldness. We can access God. We can have His presence. You have an opportunity to just say, Lord, cleanse me. Cleanse me. Cleanse me. In the name of Jesus, Almighty God, as a church, where you have made your name present, where you have made your presence felt, Lord, come into our lives. Lord, come in again into our lives. Father, as we make a commitment, and in all the weights that have easily laid by our side, retarded us, the sins, the obvious ones we have laid on the table, Almighty God, we cleanse ourselves of them in the name of Jesus. Father, we purge ourselves. Lord, we make up our mind to allow your spirit reign, access, unrestricted flow to manifest your lifestyle, to give us your thoughts, and to rain your righteousness upon us from now henceforth in the name of Jesus. Lord, that area that the little foxes have been and made our lives a big hole, Father, today we are sorry. We confess it. And we return to you for forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Forgive us for the price that Jesus paid to wash away our sins. Forgive us for the price that Jesus paid to put everything that can put us under your curse away. Forgive us by your power and lead us in life everlasting, giving us grace to run this race set before us with patience to the glory of your name. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus we pray. Can we all just stand? Lord, prepare me a sanctuary. Lord, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. Is our resolve that we will live this year from now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, that every pot here, every life here, every being here will be like a sanctuary pot that can be used at any time to make holy sacrifices, to make holy worship, to render acceptable service before you. In school, at home, in market, on the road, at the steering wheel, and in church, and wheresoever you find us henceforth, in the name of Jesus, that men can take note, behold, alive in whom there is no guile. Behold, alive in whom there is no hypocrisy. Behold, a life that is no falsehood. Behold, a life that is transparent. Lord, live that by your nature. 24 hours of the day, live with your eyes upon us. Live with your searchlight on us. Live with your approval on us. Live under your conscious presence. Carry your presence wherever we are. Lord, prepare us to begin to live this way as we resolve and make up our mind, our spirit, and command our body to so obey. In the name of Jesus, we surrender. We consecrate our life. We consecrate our beings to live under your searchlight. And as the Spirit of God makes us to live no longer for ourselves, no longer for our family, no longer under the impression of others, but for you who died and rose again in this perverse and crooked generation, may we shine as a light blameless in the name of Jesus. May your nature wherever we are reflect. And Father, one by one, begin to manifest your people in the name of Jesus. Begin to manifest your people in the name of Jesus. Begin to manifest your holiness, your righteousness, your level of mercy upon us, that wherever we are, light will shine in darkness, and the darkness can no longer prevail in the name of Jesus. And Father, as we live for you, no harm will come upon our lives in the name of Jesus. No man will set upon us to hurt us on account of righteousness. They had not done it before. They didn't do it with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't do it with Daniel and the lions then. They will not begin with us. We shall fulfill our years. You will preserve our life. You will preserve our going in and our coming out. And Father, you will honor us as our life honors you this year. In the name of Jesus. Old and young, in our endeavors that are wrought after righteousness and holiness, Father, make them shine. Make us excel. Make your light be. Make our nature and yours be at one. And make people see Jesus again walking on earth in our form in the name of Jesus. Receive the glory from our lives. And let them be holy, acceptable, always, all the days, this year. And do a great work in us. Through us, to the glory of your name. Prepared for the waiting and soon coming King. Prepared to see heaven. Prepared without blot or blemish. Father in heaven, Lord, take us on and let your glory and mercy be seen again in the name of Jesus. Let the seed of Jesus that is born after righteousness allow to germinate, grow, produce fruits of righteousness. So that by your fruit they shall know that we are born of the Holy God. And your mercy will dwell in our habitation all the days of our lives. We and the children whom you have given us. In the name of Jesus Christ, be exalted, O God. Find in this church a band of men and women on whom you will proclaim like Nathaniel, behold men and women who are holy. Behold men and women in whom I've seen my nature. Behold young men and young women in whom my nature is. Behold them. And Father, that will satisfy us. That is our desire. That is our prayer. Do it and take the glory. In Jesus' name we pray.